preaching on all the sins of church members that don't show up on Wednesday. I'm just kidding. God gave me this while I was running on the elliptical. Yeah, that sounds pretty funny. Well, I had my iPad out, and I placed it up on this. It has this little shelf that you can, and it has a TV above it, and I don't usually watch the TV because there's nothing on it anyway, a bunch of garbage. So I have my iPad sitting there, and I'm reading the Bible. And I come to 1 Chronicles chapter 13. I hope my wife can hear me in the nursery. I was reading my Bible, and God just revealed something to me that is so timely, I believe, and so important for us to understand. And it's a very simple message, but it'll cover this whole chapter of 1 Chronicles chapter 13. And what an amazing lesson that's in here. If you'll pay attention, you'll learn something. Yeah, take some notes, write some things down. It's a good time to do that here. Let's start reading it. And David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds, and with every leader. And David said unto all the congregation of Israel, if it seem good unto you, and that it be of the Lord our God, let us send abroad our brethren everywhere that are left in all the land of Israel, and with them also the priests and the Levites, which are in the cities, in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. And let us bring again the ark of our God to us. For we inquired not at it in the days of Saul. And all the congregation said that they would do so. For the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. See that? So David gathered all Israel together from Shihor of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God to Kirjath-Jearim. And David went up and all Israel to Baalah, that is Kirjath-Jearim, which belonged to Judah, to bring up thence the ark of God, the Lord, that dwelleth between the cherubims, whose name is called on it. And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah, and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. Here's where everything turns. They're shouting, they're praising, they're joying, they're jumping up and down, they're playing the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, every other instrument I can't even pronounce. And they're playing all of them. And here's where everything changes. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. Wow. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, wherefore that place is called Peruzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God home to me? So David brought not the ark home to himself to the city of David, but carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of God remained in the family of Obed-Edom in his house 3 months. And the Lord blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that he had. Let's pray. Father, I need you, Holy Spirit, move, I pray. Drive this lesson home to the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it's very interesting here, isn't it? God gave me this. I was reading this, and I usually like to read about 10, 15 chapters when I'm running on that elliptical, because I run for about 40 minutes. So I usually like to read that, but I was stopped here. I read through chapter 13, and I was like, wait a minute, and a point came up in my head. There you go. Oh, there's one. I was like, hey, yeah, that is there, isn't it? And then I started thinking about it. I was like, man, I started going into 14, and I thought, why, this is pretty good. Wait a minute, I got to go back here. There's something here. And another point came up, and another point came up. And I ended up getting like 10, 11 points here. Actually, 13 points here of something that took place here. Just an amazing situation that really took place. I'm going to give you 13 instances or so of what took place here and what was wrong with this. And I really want you to pay attention to this. I'm glad you're recording this because there's a lot of people that need to hear this and really get a good understanding of this. Now, David really wanted to do a great thing for the Lord. That's the first thing. You notice how David wanted to do a great thing for the Lord? David's motives were pure in the sense that he wanted to do a wonderful thing for God. But the title of this message is, The Method Matters to God. The Method Matters to God. It does, folks. God cares about the way we serve Him. God cares about the method we have in our churches. God cares about the method of soul winning. God cares about the method of church discipline. God cares about the method of fulfilling the Great Commission and obeying Him and following His book and winning souls. God cares about the method. The method matters to God. And this illustrates that greatly. It does even more than that. There's so much truth here. And it's so timely for what we're facing today in this day of pragmatism. It is so timely that God cares about the method you use. It's not just important whether you do something. It's the method that you do it in that matters to God Almighty. It does matter to Him. Number one, David wanted to do a great thing for the Lord. He really did. David wanted to do a great thing. He said, I want to bring up the Ark of the Covenant. He said, hey, Saul didn't... God has made me king over Israel. I'm excited about that. I'm thanking God for all of His goodness, His greatness, His wonderful grace that He has poured out upon us, and how He's delivered us from our enemies. And now I know that I want to do a great thing for God. I want to go and I want to find the Ark of the Covenant. I want to go get the Ark of the Covenant. I want to bring it to Israel. I want to bring it to the city of David. I want to build a house for it. I want God to dwell there. I want to have the power of God there and to honor God there. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to do a great thing for the Lord. You know, you and I, there are many times in our lives we want to do something great for God. There are churches that want to really do something great for God. And if we're not careful, we will just try to do something great for God, but it will not be the method that God wants us to use. The method may be wrong. Our methods matter to God. Number two, David consulted the people and not God for his method. His counsel came from men. Notice that. Number one, and David consulted with the captains of thousands and hundreds and with every leader. It doesn't say he consulted with God, does it? It says he consulted with his generals, his leaders, his soldiers. He consulted with all of them, but he didn't consult with God or his book. There are exact methods and instructions for how to carry that ark. Amen! Just like the New Testament shows us the exact order that God wants in His New Testament church. The methods that He wants to use, God left them here in the book for us. It's an eternal book. He gave it to us. He said, follow my methods. It is important that you do a good thing for God, but it's more important that you do it the right way. Amen. David consulted the people, though, and not God for his method. His counsel came from man. You know, he built off the people's excitement. They were all excited and enthusiastic. There's a group of people that were, thousands of people that were excited and enthusiastic to do a great thing for God. So he asked them, hey, you guys want to do this great thing for God? And one said, yeah, we do. Let's do it. Amen. Local church is no different than that. You get a group of people together, you want to do something for God, and you can go out and you can win souls, and you can try to win souls. You can use shallow evangelism, you can use the wrong tactics, you can use the wrong methods. And you say, well, they work. Well, do they? What do they produce? What fruit? There's the right method. The method matters to God. He had all these people excited. Listen, they just saw a victory from God. They were delivered. David is king. David is set up on the throne as the promise of God was to David. What happened? He consulted the people for his method, and his counsel came from men. He, as the leader of Israel, did not do what God had commanded him to do. What he was supposed to read, what he was supposed to study, what he was supposed to know. There were people that he could have went to. They would have helped him and showed him the right way. He had the law of Moses. He knew how to transport that ark. He understood that. Well, he didn't understand that. That's the thing. He didn't go to that. He didn't consult it. He did it his way. Well, he's king. He has a lot of power. He did it his way. Number three, David's method did not glorify God. David's method, listen, we cannot do something wrong that good may come of it. David's method did not glorify God. What glorifies God? That you and I are a vessel unto honor to Him, and we obey Him and follow Him, and we obey His commands and His precepts, and we do it His way. David's method did not glorify God. David said unto all the congregation, if it seemed good unto you. You know what David should have done in the other way? He should have said that the other way to the people. If it seemed good unto you, and that if it be of the Lord our God. How about if it be of the Lord our God, and it seemeth good to you? How about it doesn't matter if it seemeth good to the people, if it's good to God, if it's right? Huh? If it's doctrinally right, if it's correct, if it's the right method, it doesn't matter if the people like it or not. I hate to break it to you, folks. Just because a big crowd likes you doesn't mean you're right. Amen? A lot of times it means you're dead wrong. Not all the time, but many times. Let us send abroad unto our brethren everywhere that are left in the land of Israel, and with them also to the priests and the Levites which are in their cities and suburbs, that they may gather themselves unto us. Let us bring again the ark of our God to us, for we inquired not of it in the days of Saul, and all the congregation said that they would do so, for the thing was right in the eyes of all the people. He said it's right, all the people want to do it. But David's method didn't honor and glorify God. He followed his own way of doing things. He said, well, I'm king, call him up, let's go. That wasn't God's way. That wasn't God's way of doing it. God had an order. So David gathered all of Israel together from Shinar of Egypt, even unto the entering of Hamath, to bring the ark of God from Kirjath-Jearim. David's method, though, didn't glorify God. Number four, David's method brought the judgment of God. It says here, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart over the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, with singing and with harps and with psaltery and with timbrels and with cymbals and with trumpets. But Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he smote him because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. David's method brought the judgment of God. I can't help but think that some of the methods that are going on today in our churches today, that have been going on, wrong methods of doing things, trying to reach people with the wrong methods, how that has cost us greatly and brought the judgment of God. Anybody think we're living in a righteous, good nation right now? Or anybody want to think about the fact that that's probably a direct result of the condition of our churches today? That we've laid aside the truths of Scripture. We've laid aside and we've taken on a pragmatism, whatever it takes to reach somebody for Jesus, that's what I'm going to do. Folks, it's wrong. It's wrong. David's method brought the judgment of God. Uzzah died because of David's method. He died. You know what? There's folks that are in trouble today in our churches because of wrong methods. Methods were used. Our churches are weak. Your churches are full of lost people today. And they're voting on things and they're having a say in the church house and girding the church house up. Number five, God's judgment caused David to fear God and reflect on his methods. God's judgment caused David to fear God and reflect on his method. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, but wherefore that place is called Peri-Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of God that day, saying, "How shall I bring the ark of God home to me?" God's judgment caused David to fear. He said, "I don't know if I can do this now. I don't know if I can do this now. I wanted to do this great thing for God, and he killed this man for it." No, David, he killed him because of your method. Judgment came, David. "All we want to do is go soul winning and do what's right." That's good. We should all want to do that. But we shouldn't change the scriptural methods that God has put in place according to the Bible. Dumb down the gospel, water down the gospel, change who Jesus Christ is in order to reach people. It's not the fact that you want to do something great for God. That's wonderful. It's the method that you're doing it. The method you're using to do it. That's what's wrong. It's your method. Because the method matters to God. It does, folks. It matters to Him. It matters how you do things. It's not enough just to do the right thing. It matters how you do it. Amen? Number six, the good thing that David wanted to do resulted in the opposite effect because of his method. David's good thing that he wanted to do resulted in the opposite effect. Now Israel was all singing and happy, and then they mourned and they wept, and they said, what are we going to do with this ark? The king is all upset now. Somebody died. My friend died because of this. I'm going to leave the ark alone. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm going to just leave it in Obed-Edom's house and just leave it there. I'm not going to bring it to me. The opposite effect took place. Instead of a stand for righteousness and holiness in our churches today, many times we don't have that. Why? Because the church is not clean and pure and a spotless bride. Yeah? Because we've used other methods, but the method matters to God. Yeah? Churches now today are more like social clubs with a creed to follow. You go in and there's no Bible preached, no straight doctrinal messages preached, no truth preached. Because the method does matter to God. It matters, and judgment comes because of that. And the opposite effect took place. Just because there's a lot of excitement and a lot of activity doesn't mean it's right with God. The method matters to God. Just because it's all exciting and everybody's got enthusiasm and everything doesn't mean it's right with God. It does not mean that. David proved that here. He had all the excitement, but everybody came out. Everybody was excited. The whole nation of Israel was excited. They were all singing and dancing and happy and joyful. That doesn't mean that they were right. Number seven, just because all of Israel or a huge crowd likes your method doesn't mean it's right with God. Do you understand that? Just because you have a huge crowd, just because a church is huge or a church is small, doesn't mean they're right with God. It doesn't mean the methods that they are using are pleasing to God. Amen? It doesn't mean that at all. Because the method does matter to God. It matters to Him. Most people would look at the beginning of this story and they would say, "Hey, David was right. Look, he had all the people behind him. Everybody loved what he was saying. The people were happy with what David was." Does that mean that he's right? Folks, just because a bunch of people like what you're saying doesn't mean you're right. Just because you have a big crowd doesn't mean you're right. This proves it here. David, it was right what he wanted to do, yes. It was good what David wanted to do. It was a good thing. It was a great thing what David wanted to do. But it was a bad method. It was a wrong method. And the method matters to God. It makes a difference to him. Number 8, David was guilty of pragmatism. If the method draws a crowd for a good cause, use it. If the method pragmatism, if it works, use it. If it'll draw a big crowd, use it. Whether it's changing and demeaning the deity of Christ, whether it's a circus, whatever the case may be, whatever the church looks like, whatever method that is today, whatever method is used like that today, doesn't mean it honors God. Doesn't mean it's right with God to do it. Well, yeah, but if I have a motorcycle jump Sunday, then everybody will come. Does that mean that's what God wants them to come for, is motorcycle Sunday? Why are they coming, incidentally? What are they coming for? They're coming to watch the motorcycle jump, aren't they? They're not coming for Jesus Christ. Yeah, but what if they get saved if they come? Does that mean it's right? David wanted to do a great thing. Well, David wanted to bring the ark up. What's wrong with that, David? What's wrong with David wanting to bring the ark up? Why would God have a problem with it? Well, apparently God did, because David didn't use the method that God wanted him to use. David used pragmatism. He listened to what the crowd said. The crowd agreed with him. He said, well, it must be right. The crowd likes me. The crowd is happy. They want to do this. Let's go with him. What is that? It's pragmatism. It's pragmatism. But the method mattered to God. Number 9, our churches today are guilty of this sin. Let me ask you, was David evil? No, he wasn't. Can I tell you that churches today that are guilty of pragmatism, they're not evil. I'm not saying they're evil, they're brethren. They're not evil. Do you understand that? Was David evil? God brought judgment on him. Was David evil? No. The method was evil. The method was wrong. So what did God do? He judged the method. A preacher is supposed to look at the Bible and see what the methods of Scripture are to pastor a church, to oversee a church, and for evangelism and for everything else. And he's to look at those methods. And if the methods are evil, he's to judge those or discern that those are evil and not to use that. Does that mean if his brethren over in such and such church use those, that they're evil? No, it does not mean they're evil. It means they're wrong. Does it mean that everything that they've ever done in their life is worthless and the church is worthless? No. Folks, I want you to understand something. Just because I am vehemently opposed to modernism and wicked methods of building a church, or false methods that are not in the design of Scripture, does not mean I am against those people or I think that those people are bad. Scores of churches in this whole area don't do things the way Old Paths Baptist Church does them. Amen. They don't. If they did, you would not have a family driving 70 miles to go to a church that does things the way Old Paths Baptist Church does them. Now, that's not anything to do with me. That glory goes to God. What I'm saying to you is they are doing that because there's something different here. Amen. It's different. They see the model in Scripture and they gravitate to it. What am I saying? I'm saying that my brethren disagree with me, or my brethren don't know. Many of them may be ignorant of a lot of this. That does not mean they're not my brothers in Christ. That does not mean that they're my enemies. That does not mean that I think that they're worthless, that God doesn't use them. That does not mean that. Do you understand that? I hope that you understand that. I don't want you to ever walk away from Old Paths Baptist Church when you leave a service, when you leave the assembly, and think, well, that pastor, he doesn't like the Baptist Church and so-and-so, or he thinks they're worthless, or No, that's not. They're brothers. They're wrong. Now, if something is a damnable heresy, there are different degrees of that. If you're preaching against the Bible, the Word of God, the order, then yes, the degree of reproof is stronger, and it warrants a separation. But that doesn't mean that I believe that nobody ever gets saved and God never uses that place. Understand that. That doesn't mean that at all. It just means that the method is not right in Scripture. It's not according to opinion. David had an opinion. The people had an opinion, didn't they? But God had a method that he wanted used. There's the difference. What I'm giving to you is not opinion. I'm giving you the methods of Scripture. I'm showing you direct Scripture. So understand that. That doesn't mean that David was evil. He was not evil. His method was wrong. Number 10, today we see the fruit of shallow methods of evangelism. We see churches not going to the Bible for the method of evangelism, but consulting with people, consulting with how-to books, consulting with church manuals, consulting with everything else besides the Word of God. You say, preacher, I don't know if I believe you. Well, I'm going to ask you a question, and if I'm wrong, you tell me I'm wrong. You hear it when it goes on. But they can hear this. Let me ask you a question. Do you see wild attractions for people to come to hear the gospel found in the New Testament? Can you find that anywhere in the New Testament that showed that the Apostle Paul, or the Apostle Peter, or anybody else put together a wild attraction to reach somebody for Jesus Christ. Do you understand that the problem is that none of that is scriptural, and we've gotten so far down the road that when somebody says something about an unscriptural method, they will be labeled, well, you're anti-soul winning, you're anti-reaching people for Jesus, you're anti... When you make statements to people that they cannot understand, the church is for the saved. The church is the saved. The assembly is for the saved. Amen? When you make statements like that, that shocks people. No, Sunday morning is supposed to be geared towards the lost. Where is that in the New Testament? It isn't there. See, what I believe is the preacher prays, he gets the mind of the Lord, God gives him a sermon, and he preaches it, and if somebody is lost in that assembly, they're going to hear about Jesus Christ there. But you want to know something even more important? Is you and I going out to a lost and dying world and preaching, street preaching, and doing things there. That's where the soul winning or the evangelism takes place. It's not on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, I'm to feed the flock of God which is among you. Amen? Sunday night, I'm to feed the flock of God. Wednesday, I'm to feed the flock of God. Amen? Now, that's not heard of today. When you say things like that, people think you're crazy. But show me the method of having Super Soaker Sunday. If you can show me that in the New Testament, that that is biblically accurate, then I'll say, you know what? Your method is fine. It's scriptural. But the reaction of most people is to get angry about that when you say something about that. How dare you speak against that? Why? It's not biblical. Amen? To have a different name for a Sunday every week is not biblical. Why you bring this up, preacher? Because the method matters to God. It also sets a precedent for you to understand that you're not going to see this preacher have Super Soaker Sundays and human hot dog Sundays and everything else here. If you come to me and ask me to do something, I'm not doing that. Why? Because I don't see it in the Bible. Evangelism? Oh yeah, we need to step it up. Amen? We all need to step it up. We all need to be handing out tracts at these events. I'm going to find out about Jesse James Days and all this here this week. I want to hand out tracts to people that are walking through in different areas when they're coming home and where they're at. And get all together and hand out tracts and try to reach people. You know, you don't have to say anything. Just hand them a gospel tract. Hand them a gospel tract. Try to talk to them if you can talk to somebody, if they're willing to talk. Amen? That's what we ought to be doing, folks. That's where the evangelism takes place. It's not on the assembly on Sunday morning. It's not trying to attract them. Do you know what's happened? Well, here's what we've done. The method matters to God. Let me say that again. Here's what we've done. We've put out big campaigns to try to reach people. We've brought them into the church house, the assembly, and we've catered our services to them. See, I don't think I agree with you. Can I give you some examples? That young lady sat lost in churches for years, in colleges for years, under many programs like that. Correct? Many programs. Many programs of trying to have a different theme every Sunday. Many of these other things. Our children go to church and we're trying to raise them for Jesus Christ, and we've now surrounded them by people that don't care about living for Jesus Christ. The evangelism is supposed to be done out there. We're just lazy. I'm confessing, we're lazy. Now, some don't know, so don't have enough heat to it. Some of you have never heard this before, so I mean, some of you have never known that a Christian is supposed to be a witness, really. But we're just lazy. Amen? Our work's supposed to be done out there, not in here. Not that type of work. The assembly's for the saved. Now, does that mean a lost person, if they're lost, they don't? No, we want them to come. They're not disinvited. We're not saying you're not invited to come. No, nobody's saying that. I'll take as many as want to come. Amen? But to put a gimmick up to get them to come? The method matters to God. What about David? Well, David had a big crowd, but David was still wrong. Was David evil? No. Is the church evil that has these different things? No, they're not evil. They're not being evil. They're not acting out of an evil nature. No. They're not enemies of Christ. I'm not saying that. I've never said that. Now, if they don't preach the gospel, they're enemies of Christ. If they put down the word of God, then they question the authenticity of the scriptures. If they don't preach historical doctrines of the faith, then yes, they are enemies of the cross. Amen? If they destroy the authority of scriptures, then yes, they are enemies of the cross. Or they're being an enemy anyway, which the Bible says you can be an enemy of God by siding with the world. Amen? What I'm saying is the method matters. All of those things that we have done to try to reach people, what has it profited the local New Testament church? We've had wrong methods. David wanted to do a great thing. My brethren want to do a great thing. I want to do a great thing. But if I use the wrong method, God will bring judgment upon that method, as you see in this text here.
Does that make sense?
I hope that makes sense to you. Again, that doesn't mean our other churches are enemies. They're not enemies. What it means is their method is wrong, scripturally wrong. Amen? Number 11, we see how to build a church books, and if it works, use it. But many people are being hurt by these methods. False assurance, no power of God, a weak church, a defiled church. We've gone to other methods, but the method matters to God. Listen, folks, it matters to God if your church is under His authority or the state. It matters to God if whether you evangelize, whether you practice church discipline or not. It matters to God how your church raises funds and operates. It matters to God. Leaving the plain, simple path of what God has for the local church, it matters to God. The method matters. The method of organizing a church matters to God. That it's sent out from another local New Testament church, that matters to God. The method of how you organize that church, whether it's a 501c3 incorporation, does that mean they're not real churches? No, it does not mean that they're not real churches. They still preach the gospel. They have the ordinances, some of them. That does not mean they're not real churches. Did you hear me? That does not mean that. It means that their method does not honor God. That's what it means. Amen? And are we trying to obey God to the fullest, or just partially obey Him? The method matters to God, how you preach, and that you follow the pattern that was showed thee in the mount of the Most High. It matters. The King James Bible matters. The method matters in music and dress and holiness. The method matters to God. Those things matter to God. You say, preacher, but so-and-so is a big crowd. So did David, but the method still matters to God. You say, they have bodies, bucks, and buildings. So did David, but the method still matters to God. It matters to Him how you do things. Amen? You say, your marriage, it matters. You say, I want my husband to be a good husband, I want my wife to be a good wife. I want to say, it matters, the method that you use in trying to get that to happen. The method matters. It must be scriptural methods. I'll tell you this right now. No man ever got a woman to submit to him by being a barbarian. What that usually does is cause their cackles to get up. They get real angry. They get feisty even. Amen? They get feisty when you do that. Why? Because the Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. I'll tell you something right now. I can get excited about some things, and my wife is used to handling me, so she knows how to handle me. So she knows when my excitement is just kind of excitement, that's how I'm kind of like that. And so she can usually brush it off pretty easy, like whatever. But because she knows how to handle me, she can just say a few words to me, and she doesn't even have to say a whole lot. Well, okay, if that's the way you want to do it. And then by that time, I'm walking away saying, well, maybe I don't want to do it that way. Maybe I shouldn't do it that way. Why is that? Now, if she would have said, I don't have to listen to you, I'll do what I want to do, then my attitude would be different towards that. But when she said, oh, okay, if that's the way you want to do it, and I walk away, I think, man, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't do it that way. Maybe there might be a better way to do it. Something of that nature, you know, just anything like that. A husband and wife's relationship, a relationship with people that you're dealing with, your children the same way. I am still working on that with my children to try to have a softer answer when I deal with them. And not be so hard and not be so quick. And you want them to be disciplined. You want them to do right. But am I too harsh? Do I come across too strong? Is there love in my voice when I'm dealing with it? Or is it only just correction? Is it just, you know, there's so much to learn. And you don't get a second chance when you're raising them. You get to look back as grandpa, and then you get the other chance to say, well, you know. And as a grandpa and a grandma, you look at it, you probably know the answer, but you can't really say anything because they're not your kids, and you know they have to go through it. So you just look at it, and you watch it, and you think, man, sometimes you say something, but other times you don't. But I mean, it's just, you look at the situation, and you think, it's hard, but there's a method that matters to God. You look at different things, and the method, the way you do things, the way you conduct yourself, the way you deal with people, the method matters to God. You say, but I'm right about what I'm saying. You can be right and be a complete jerk. Amen? You can be absolutely right with your stand and be a jerk. Be a big baboon, a bull, a mean person. But I'm right. That's wonderful, but the method still matters to God. And yeah, you can laugh. I'm speaking from experience. You know that. Yeah, whatever, but you can laugh at yourself if you think about it. It's like, yeah, I'm right. You might be right, but is your attitude right? Is your method right? Is the method you're using to deal with the situation a scriptural method? But I get mad, I want to deal with this. Is the method scriptural though? I'm right, bless God. You might be right. But is your method right? Because the method still matters to God. So then two things can happen. You can be wrong, and they can be wrong. You trying to right them can be in the wrong spirit, and you can both be wrong. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever corrected somebody or corrected a situation or dealt something with your wife or something like that, and you dealt with a situation or a matter, but you did it with the wrong spirit, so you both have to ask for forgiveness? That's God's way of humbling you. Yeah, big boy, you're right, but you did it in the wrong way, so you got to apologize for that. You got to ask for forgiveness for that. You did it wrong. Amen? Why is that? Because the method matters to God, that's why. It matters to Him. It really does, folks. Scripture doesn't say David was evil, does it? It doesn't judge his heart for evil. God condemned and brought judgment on David's method. But David's method led to someone being hurt because his method was wrong. But God didn't bring judgment on David's heart and say, God didn't condemn his heart and give vengeance on David's heart. No, He took vengeance on the method because the method was wrong. Amen? Listen, I'm not condemning the good we all do in our Baptist churches. I'm taking the Word of God and discerning the method just like God did to David. He judged righteous judgment on David. He discerned that David's method was wrong. And then it brought judgment, condemnation. But in closing, and we'll turn to 1 Chronicles 15. Number 11, David sought for the proper method. David wanted to honor and glorify God. If our methods are right, it brings God honor and glory if they're right. David sought for the proper method. Verse number 2 here, I like this. Oh, we'll read verse number 1. And David made him houses in the city of David and prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched for it a tent. Then David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites, for them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever. Oh! After judgment came, David went to the law, didn't he? David said, well, I better go to the truth. I better go to the book and see what the method is. And David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. For them hath the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto Him forever. Then David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place. And when he had prepared for it, David assembled the children of Aaron and of the Levites. And he goes on and he says of the sons of Kohath, lists the sons and he lists the people. And then look what he did. He got smart in verse number 11. And David called for Zadok and Abiathar the priest and for the Levites and Uriel and Azariah and Joel and Shemaiah and Eliel and Aminadab and said to them, ye are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Oh, look at this. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel into the place that I have prepared for it. What's David doing? David saw that the method mattered to God, and he repented of it. You see, how do you know you're repentant? Well, because David had a change of mind that led to a change of action. Hey, that's real repentance, isn't it? Yeah. David didn't do it with that old method anymore. What did he do? He turned to God and said, I'm going to do it the right way. I'm doing it God's way. Amen? He turned and he did it God's way. He said that the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought Him not after the due order. Did you see that? Did you see that? Look at that again. Look what he said here. The method matters to God. Look what he said here in verse 13. For because you did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us. For that we sought Him not after the due order. It's just so easy and plain right here, folks. The method matters to God. You say, but it draws a big crowd. I don't care. The method matters to God. You know why our country's so messed up? Because Baptist churches went to a revivalist movement back in the early 1900s and around the D.L. Moody time. And they went to revivalists. And German rationalism came into our churches. They combated it with a Preach the Gospel tent revival message that went out everywhere. And they infiltrated our Baptist churches. And we stopped planting churches like Sandy Creek did. And that's what happened to America. I talked to an evangelist a couple months ago. I said, what are you lifting up Billy Sunday for? He didn't even obey the Great Commission. His response, college educated, mind you. His response was this, Billy Sunday preached the gospel. I said, do you know what the Great Commission is? Did they teach you that at school? Is the Great Commission just preaching the gospel? Who's the Great Commission given to? The local church. What is that commission to do? Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Well, there's only one way to do that, because people don't have the authority to baptize. Churches have the authority to baptize. They ordain people to baptize, deacons or pastors. They ordain them to do that, don't they? Right? Amen? Or evangelists, which I believe are church planters, deacons. The same can be. That was in Scripture. Anyway, my point is this. We've lost it. The method. The method matters to God. Everybody's screaming, God save America. God's screaming, Baptist plant churches. I showed you how to better your nation. Plant churches. Go ye therefore into all the world. Amen? But we have too much bureaucracy in America among our churches. To plant a church in America, you got to go through everything under the sun. Move over to Africa, you can start one tomorrow. And that's not the government. I'm talking about Baptist churches. Folks, the method matters to God. He said we sought him not after the due order. We didn't follow his method. We did it our own way. So the priests and Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of Levites bare the ark of God upon their shoulders. Look, with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. So what's he doing? David said, we're going to do this right this time. We're going to the law of Moses, and we're going to look how to transport this thing. Levites, you know what you're doing. What are we supposed to do, Levites? Well, I'm glad you're asking. That ark won't tip if it's on the staves, right? If it's settled right. Oh, okay. As Moses commanded according to the word of the Lord. And David spake to the chief of the Levites to appoint their brethren to be singers. Now they're all singing and happy and there's joy. Number 13, the rest of the chapter shows the blessings of God and the carefulness of David wrought in following the scriptural method of God in his work. The method matters to God. Now, there could be scores of other chapters that will show this, but this one shows it very, very clearly that the method matters to God. The method that we use, the methods that we use of evangelism, of reaching the lost, of baptizing them, the methods that are found in Scriptures, they matter to God. And when we don't follow them, judgment comes. When we don't follow them, trouble comes, heartache comes, pain comes, and yes, even death comes. The method matters to God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness to us. And thank you for clear Bible teaching. Thank you for showing us from your word that the method matters to you.